Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, where we're studying an old Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam on the evils of strong drink. This is a Sunday school lesson Elam prepared for October the 31st, 1929. And you may want to turn to Proverbs chapter 23, 29 through 35, which is serving as the base text for this old Sunday school lesson. This is the Warren County Radio Bible School, and it is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Proverbs 23 and verse 32, talking about wine, after telling us how wonderful it looks, says, "At the last, it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder." So let's talk about that. I'm going to read now from Galatians 6, verses 7 through 8, where Paul writes, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. There is no one seed which produces a more abundant harvest of corruption than whiskey. When one begins to drink, he soon begins to tarry long, and the farther he goes, the more he is enslaved. Then mild wine today calls for stronger wine tomorrow, and ere long it requires mixed wine to satisfy the appetite. It is said by those who have examined the matter that mixed liquors of the present time contain alcohol, arsenic, alum, aloes, bitter almond, blood, chalk, cherry, laurel water, cocculus, indicus, copperas, gypsum, henbane, inslinglass, lime, lead, logwood, nox, veromica, opium, oil of vitriol, oil of juniper, oil of turpentine, tobacco, sugar of lead, resin, and such like." That's a list given by the Standard Electric Company. It is said to be still worse and more deadly today. This verse, that is verse 31 of Proverbs chapter 23, talks about how beautiful wine looks and warns us, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it sparkleth in the cup, when it goeth down smoothly." This verse describes the beauty and pleasure of wine. Red, sparkling, its bright color shines from the glass. Its beauty whets the appetite and adds to its attraction and its deception. Sin always paints the most beautiful colors and clothes in the most attractive dress and renders it most seductive, that which is most destructive. "Lest any of you be hardened," it says in Hebrews 3:13, "by the deceitfulness of sin." It talks about wine when it goeth down smoothly. This refers to its taste. We're warned against its beauty. We're warned against its taste. Notwithstanding its beauty and pleasant taste, its end is terrible. It biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Serpent is a general term. Adder is a more specific term. "They have sharpened their tongue like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips." Psalms 104 and verse 3. Satan is called the old serpent and the deceiver of the whole world. Proverbs 12 and verse 9, and whiskey is one of his most destructive and deceptive powers. It has the poisonous bite of the serpent and the deadly sting of the lurking adder. One would be better bitten by a rattlesnake or a copperhead. This destroys the body, but whiskey destroys both soul and body. A consumer drunkard goes to hell before his death. He is in hell on earth. As Milton makes Satan to say, so can the drunkard say, I myself am hell. The drunkard's eyes behold strange things. Indeed, in a state of delirium tremens, it is said that all sorts of horrible things present themselves to his view. He utters blasphemy and all kinds of foul things. Drunkenness is associated with theft, lying, lewdness, and every other species of debauchery. It leads to all these. It prevents one's imagination, defiles his thoughts, corrupts his life, and ruins his soul. Like one that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or upon the top of a mast, the drunkard is surrounded by dangers, and is in the midst of a storm, and may fall and perish at any moment. Yea, he does not believe he is in danger. He thinks he's one that whiskey cannot hurt. And then verse 35, we read Proverbs chapter 23 and 35. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not hurt. I have been beaten, but I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. This teaches that notwithstanding all the remonstrances of a drunkard's friends, and notwithstanding all the shame, humiliation, and wounds, and his bruises, when he awakes from sleep, or is aroused from his drunken stupor, he will seek strong drink again. Nothing can stop him. He travels downgrade with accelerated speed. He squanders all property, forsakes all friends, deserts all loved ones, and gives up home and heaven for whiskey. Now, in 1926, there was a big political battle taking place in America about prohibition. And surely this is why, at the end of this Sunday school lesson, E.A. Elam had this to say about prohibition. Is prohibition right? Now, prohibition is simply prohibiting the use or the contact with certain things. You know, all evil, we should be prohibited from partaking in all of evil. And some of these the law does not touch, but some of these it would be good if the law restricted people from evil. And people talk about the days of prohibition as though they are over, but you know, we still have prohibition, and we're glad for it, because minors cannot take and consume wine, and even those that have had too much in public settings are admonished, and you're prohibited from driving after you've had much wine. So prohibition still exists, not like it did in what we call the days of prohibition, where the manufacture and sale of alcohol was restricted, but it is concerning its sale and consumption. Is that right, to have laws like that? Let's read what E.A. Elam had to say. The gospel of Christ is for the whole world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Make disciples of all the nations. Matthew 16:15-16. Matthew 28:19-20. Hence that which the gospel enjoins is enjoined by the Lord, and that which it prohibits is prohibited by him. Whenever the gospel of Christ enjoins or prohibits, extends to all persons, in all nations, in all the world who have accepted the gospel. Since God is all-wise, and is light and love, and seeks the greatest good and salvation of all mankind, To follow his laws is the wisest and best thing in time and for eternity that man can do. The manufacture and sale of intoxicating liquor as a beverage, with all its evil consequences, are prohibited by the gospel. Hence, such prohibition is right. But God leaves everyone to choose for himself whether or not he will practice self-control and abstain from strong drink and obey the gospel at all. One must be moved to action by the warnings and threatenings of the gospel, led by the goodness of God and constrained by the love of Christ in order to become a child of God, a Christian. God never by civil authority or any other power forces one to repent or to be baptized or to otherwise obey him. But God has ordained powers that be, that is civil governments, for the restraint and punishment of evildoers and the protection of the righteous. In this way, he prohibits many evils and restrains many evildoers while he protects the righteous. He rules in the kingdoms of men and accomplishes righteous purposes through them. Namely, he promotes civilization. Righteous laws among men are corrects, chastises, or even destroys some wicked nations. Christians are commanded to pray for civil lawmakers and rulers in order that they may so direct civil affairs that God's people may live a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2. It seems very difficult for Christians to realize that this is the life which God directs them to live, or realizing it for them that lead it. All this shows that civil government must make laws of prohibition prohibiting many evil practices. The more wicked men these authorities can restrain, and the more sins and wickedness they can prohibit, the better for the world and the happier it will be for Christians. In this we see the difference between the church and the use God makes of civil government and civil government and the use God makes of it. The one is distinct and separate from the other. The church is spiritual, of heaven, heavenly, gentle, and persuasive, using spiritual means and weapons. The other is of the earth, using force and carnal deadly weapons. Christ's kingdom is not of this world. It's not ruled by the world's ambitions and motives, and is not possessed of the spirit of this world. Hence, his subjects do not use carnal weapons in enforcing the statutes of the kingdom of God. But, as we have seen, one great purpose God has in view in ordaining civil governments, it's to restrain and punish evildoers and protect the righteous. So while Christ's kingdom is not of this world, Christians must submit cheerfully to all civil authorities insofar as God's laws are not set aside by the civil law, and must encourage all others to do the same. Christians can in no way encourage lawlessness. They are law-abiding, peace-loving citizens, and so deporting themselves as to elicit the praise of civil authorities. We read in 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17 that Christians are to honor all men, to love the brotherhood, to fear God, and to honor the King. That ends this Sunday school lesson, but at the very end there's this little rhyme. O ye who weep for sorrow's sake, dread not the coming years. Doubt not that God's sunshine shall make a rainbow of your tears. Edward L. Sabin. That's Edwin L. Sabin. In our next lesson, we're going to be talking about the fall of Jericho. You may want to mark in your Bible Joshua chapter 6, 12 through 20.